Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 460. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're both, either way, they're free of charge. That's including the postage and handling. We have a message, strong messages, a lot of information, some songs, and letters. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to anoint this service. Lord, do what You will on this program, Lord. Let everything that is done be done directly from the kingdom of heaven. I know, and everyone should know by now, Lord, that You hear every word. You know the murmur of everyone's heart. You know the thoughts and intents of the mind, heart and soul and mind. And Lord, we pray that You'll deliver that special message from Your throne. And we're praying again, Father, for the destruction of all those that hate You and are never going to stop hating You. Lord, place them where they belong. Lord, that there be something here on this earth to encourage every Christian, born-again Christian. I'm not talking about Catholics. Those that are true Christians in the Catholic cult, Lord, bring them out. Let them have enough sense to know that they're in the wrong place. Let souls out in the world receive an open heart policy today. Let them open their spirits, their hearts, and let You in. Let them receive their new spirit, and let them receive You into it. And Lord, give the church a strong jolt of the fear of Your Lord. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the whole duty of You, Lord, is for us to fear You and keep Your commandments. Lord, that souls will be saved and that You're strengthened in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now, here's a song that Frank Sinatra and Nancy Sinatra gave to me. It's from their publishing company. It's called Sunday School to Broadway.
She used to stand, clap her hands, and sing Amazing Grace, while the tears of childhood innocence were rolling down her face. Mama prayed at night and raised her right hand, thought she knew the way. But it's a long, long way from Sunday school to where she is today. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. When you sing the sinner's song, there's someone to find your way back home. But it's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. Sunday evening stood in a gospel tent down on her bended knees, as she gave a soul to Jesus and He set her spirit free. But the cold night air out on Times Square, it put she felt back home. And it's a long, long way from Sunday school to New York nights alone. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from the girl she used to be. When you sing a sinner song, it's hard to find your way back home. Cause it's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. Then her eyes grew bright in the cool, dark night, and a halo framed her face. And a passerby slowly heard her cry, did he hear Amazing Grace? They couldn't see the man who took her hand as she lay there in the street. And it's a long, long way from Broadway to a place at the master's feet. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from the girl she used to be. When you say long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from the girl she used to be. When you sing a sinner a song, it's hard to find your way back home. Well, it's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's a long way from Sunday school to Broadway. All right, now Psalm 2, 1 through 5 states, this is the psalmist David. He says, why do the heathen rage? Why do the ungodly people rage? They're raging about, you know, God's word. They're raging about his name. They're raging about his people that are carrying his word. They hate his word. They rage about it. The ungodly, the heathen, rage. And the people imagine a vain thing. How vain it is for people to believe that there is anything that their rage is going to do to God. God is invincible. He is, his will be done. People, if you do what he says, you go to heaven. If you don't do it, you go to hell in the lake of fire. So both ways are God's way. So no matter which, whatever you do, you're going to do things God's way in the final end. Mm-hmm. A lot of people used to say, the Jews used to say, well, we believe that when the Messiah came, that he would come to restore Israel and that he would, overthrow our enemies. He said, but people haven't read the entire story. The time hasn't come yet. When he came, he fulfilled the first part of the prophecy that is going to come. 333 prophecies were told of his coming. And then it told of that he would be nailed to a cross. So we're sitting in a valley between two mountain peaks. We can look back and see all these different signs that he was going to come, and he came. And then we're down in the valley now waiting for the mountain peak to happen where he's going to come back and take hold of the heathen, the ungodly people that hate his name, his word, his people, and him. And he's going to destroy them, and he's in the process of pouring out his wrath on this earth right now, in case you haven't noticed. And, if there's anything to this global warming, well, the Lord said he was going to scorch all the evil people on earth, and that he was going to put his people in a safe place. And so, it's ridiculous for people to think that the Lord was not going to come into the world to die for the sins of the world, because that's what he was supposed to do. There's been no salvation, no escape from hell if he hadn't done that. And so now we look at the top of the mountain where we're just about there now. The Lord showed me vision where I showed myself walking up this mountain very quickly, because I'm strong in the Lord, and there's nothing that's going to stop me from serving him except a bullet or being decapitated or something, which whatever way it is, I'm going to go through the whole process, because I believe in God, and I don't want to, at this late date, after putting 43 years into the Lord, I'm not going to hell for anything or anybody. So now we look for this. I'm going up the mountain, and here comes this horrible storm coming down the mountain. First of all, I saw the vision widen, and here's Susie coming up right behind me. It was just, we were just out in plain sunlight. It was a beautiful day, and then I went down to get her because she was really walking up the mountain slow. I put my arm around her and started going up, and here comes this horrible storm coming down the mountain. It was black, just as filthy black as it gets. And it got to the point where we couldn't, I couldn't even see us, because there'd be like a little, the wind that would be pushing us downhill, but would, there'd be a little opening there and you could see us still struggling. And I'd be on one knee and pushing Susie up the hill, and then it would turn black again. It just kept going like that. And it was a difficult mountain that we're climbing. And so we're looking at this other peak now from the valley. We're almost up the mountain, and that's where the Lord is coming back. This time not as a baby like he did when he first came into the world as a man, but this time he's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the people that hated him and the heathen that were raging because of him and his people, and the people that were hating his word, and the people that had the, were possessed with the devil, like most of the people on the face of the earth today, there's few that are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says, but many are going to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. The Lord said that he has enlarged hell and the lake of fire. So, you know, we're, if we look at the Bible the way it's written, the Old and New Testament, we know that the Lord is coming back to reign forever and ever. So the kings of the earth set themselves, they just set themselves. Can you just see all these weasels setting themselves? You know, they're just getting a stance. Men are made out of dirt, folks. Amen?
Amen.
Can you imagine a bunch of mud pies just standing there, you know, like straining against the Almighty God that made them out of the mud? Can you imagine that? They set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let us destroy the church of God, God's bride. Let's destroy them and cast away their cords from us. In other words, we're preaching to them. They don't want to hear us preach anymore. Well, the Lord said through David, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And then read the book of Revelation to see how that Satan, his angels, and all those that follow him are going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's including homosexuals, amen?
Amen.
Liars, people that like to lie about God's people, and they like to lie about God and Jesus. And these people that, these cheap two-bit movie producers and television producers, you know, like the History Channel, they just got to put their two cents in about God, and they don't know anything about it. They're not born again, and so they really are not qualified to preach the gospel or teach anybody anything. And all these movie makers that make these rotten movies today, like the Da Vinci Code and things like that, I won't even look at it. There's nothing that I want to see, I know, because I was saved in a very supernatural way. God came down in an office and shut my ears off and talked right through me. And that's one thing the rest of you weasels out there can't say. Okay?
Amen.
That never happened to you. And the Lord did it to me because he really likes me.
Amen.
And he doesn't like you. Okay? You don't like the Lord? Hey, the feelings are mutual. Amen? God
Amen.
Doesn't like you either. And he's going to do something about you. And I'm on a course now. The Lord set me on a course to start praying against you weasels out there. Isn't that lovely?
Amen.
Just lovely, isn't it? Sweet. Okay, it's so sweet to me when I get guidance from the Lord as to know what to do. And then you phony Christians say, well, that isn't scriptural. I just read it to you out of the scriptures. You say, well, that's Old Testament. Old Testament, New Testament is just fulfillment of the Old. We call upon the Lord. The Lord says we're supposed to, in the New Testament, says we're supposed to hate Satan and his people. Amen?
Amen.
And it says to pray for the people and honor all men. We do by telling you what's going to happen to you. Isn't that honorable?
Amen.
You are lurking in the darkness. You know, you people that write all kinds of false stories about me, you don't sign your names to it, except one dimwit. There's one, maybe two dimwits that would sign their name to stuff. But I want those dimwits to know that you're not long for this world. And you just think you're going to go down in flames. Well, you are. And I'll still be alive. I'll be preaching the gospel. So, we have some letters today. Do you want to read one?
Yes.
Where is it from?
From Andhra Pradesh, India.
Okay.
Dear Pastor...
That's where most of the people have been worshiping cows for centuries until we got in there with the Word of God, and now they're starting to praise and thank the Lord. And they don't think those cows out there are their grandmothers and grandfathers. They know that they're just cows. They wouldn't be starving to death if they'd, eat them up. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then what?
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, warm wishes to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know that you are being used by him mightily to win many perishing souls. Dear Pastor, thank you very much for your concern towards me by sending me Bibles and literature. I thank you very much. Your messages are winning many souls. Many are attracted and are coming to my home to get your newsletters. When people come to me, first I explain about your ministry and your testimony, and I allow them to listen to your voice through my small tape recorder, and then I give them your newsletters. Likewise, I am spreading your messages while I am traveling. I carry my bag full of your literature to distribute, so I am very busy. Please pray for me and my family. I am in need of more literature and Bibles because your literature is winning souls. Many are coming to know about the great Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We would like to serve him with all our mind, soul, and strength, along with our families. Please remember us in your prayers. Thanking you, Pastor. Yours lovingly, K. Kumar, from Vijayawada, Krishna District, Andhra Pradesh, India.
Praise the Lord. Do you have another one?
Yes, from Malawi, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Lamo, greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to thank you very much for sending a Holy Bible, 3 Messiah books, and the newsletters. They are of great help in our lives, as well as to those who have reached through our Bible study group around the villages, preaching in the streets, at lorry stations, and also in the markets. Our church members, I and my family, are very busy distributing your newsletters, and many people accept Jesus as their personal Savior through your newsletters. May the God of our Lord Jesus bless you abundantly through all his riches. Please send us about 400 newsletters, 100 Messiah books. Also, please send CDs and tapes to be shared to those who have received Jesus, and also our church members, for they are in need of them. We are daily praying for you and your ministry. Many blessings from God be with you all there. Thank you. Yours in his work, Pastor Petro from Malawi, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Send them all, everything that they need. All right, Psalm number 1 states, blessed or happy or most fortunate and prosperous and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice. We're not supposed to follow the advice of the ungodly, their plans and purposes. We're not to follow any of this. Nor stands submissively and inactively in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest, where the scornful and the mockers gather. The Bible says that the homosexuals are the ones that recline on couches, and they drink wine out of bowls languishing in Sodom and Gomorrah, and up to this day they just love comfort. Imagine how horrible hell is going to be to those people. And we're trying to win their souls by telling them what to do. Get saved, washed in the blood. Verse 2. But the godly person's delight and desires are in the law of the Lord. And the law is not over. Jesus said he didn't come to destroy the law, he came to fulfill it. And on his law, the precepts, the instructions, the statutes, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. That's Romans 13, verses 8 through 10, Galatians 3, 1 through 29, 1 Timothy 3, 16. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree, a godly person, firmly planted. There isn't anything that's going to bother him. I'm not bothered. Don't bother me. Because you can't bother me. Okay?
Amen.
Don't bother me. And tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Our leaf shall not fade or wither, and everything that we do shall prosper and come to maturity. That's Jeremiah also. It's in Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Verse 4. Not so the wicked, those disobedient, disgusting, and those that are living without God, as not so, are not so. But they are like the chaff, worthless, dead, without substance, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked, those disobedient and living without God, shall not stand. They shall not stand before him justified in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. If I were a sinner out there, I'd take heed with these scriptures. Those who are upright and right standing with God, for the Lord knows and is fully acquainted with the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, those living outside God's will, shall perish. They're going to die. And you don't like that? Well, isn't that something, you little piece of dirt? You say dirt, you're calling us dirt. The Bible says you're made out of dirt, Bunky.
Mm-hmm.
All of us are. Shall perish and in ruin and come to nothing. You're going to come to nothing. All right, now, Sharon, read a little excerpt to them from Mr. Lamps's book in regard to, this man is the one that is an expert in language of Aramaic. And he stated that many translators, because of the fact that they never lived in the Middle East, that there's no way that they could know the idioms. There's no way that they could... see, we Here in the United States, we say a man that was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. That means that they in the Middle East think that that was a miracle. But here, it's just an idiom. It's just, in other words, he was born into riches or money. But go ahead and read what Lampsa says.
Idioms, metaphors, and figures of speech constitute a great barrier in mastering a foreign language. Translators from one language into another have always been cognizant of these difficulties. This is one reason why the Bible is misunderstood and has been subjected to revision throughout the centuries.
And this is why so many Christians are unscriptural, and they never seek out the Middle Eastern idioms, and all they know is what they read, and they don't know the depth of it, because many times idioms are used in the Bible, and they don't nail it down, they don't know what it means. And so really, the people in the United States don't know the Bible as well as people in Middle East countries that are saved. We know the Bible really the way it is. That's just so many people. You know, everybody thinks that I'm... So somebody said the other day that I said that girls could be married at the age of puberty. Well, if you read Webster's Dictionary, it says the same thing. And if you read the Bible, it says the same thing. If you were a Middle Easterner, you wouldn't fight that at all. But because you're clumsy and ignorant and stupid, you think that that's evil. And you're helping the Antichrist believe that it's evil as well. Now, I don't suggest that a lot of young women get married because they're still playing with Barbie dolls, because they don't raise the children here in the United States like they do in the Middle East. In the Middle East, the Jews and other Middle Easterners are raising their children, their boys, to become businessmen. When they're about 15 years old, they start them out at about 5 years old, working in their grocery stores. And I was in grocery stores when I was in the Middle East, in Israel. And the little boy would be in there, and the papa would say, honey, go get me a can of so-and-so from the back room and bring it up here for Mr. Goldberg, okay? And the little kid would run back there and go get it. So he was learning about stock room and stock and everything. By the time he's 15 years old, he's a businessman already, all right? And he, by the time he's 20, well, went over there and I met one of the sharpest guys in the world. The guy was not even 21 yet, and he had a big hotel, and he was running it himself. And his mother was just sitting in the back, you know, in the... making sure that everything was fine, too. She was a real pleasant Jewish lady, and really beautiful, too. She was a woman about 60 years old, 50, 60, and her son was up there. I woke up in the morning with the maids coming in, and this man that owned the hotel was in there helping them change the sheets. And then I'd go down to, I wanted a Coke or something, and he says, just wait a minute, go around the corner to the bar. And so I go back there, and he rolls up this roll-up window there, and he's got an apron on. He's the desk clerk with a suit on. Now he's got an apron on. He says, what do you have, sir? And I says, well, Coca-Cola, I guess. And so he pulled one out of the refrigerator. And then I went to eat dinner that night, and here he was waiting on tables. I said, man, they don't have any labor unions over here. He says, nope. No, we can work if we want to. We're not communists. We're not under the Vatican yet. Okay? And I says, wow, this is really something. And how old are you? He says, 20. I says, you own the hotel? Yeah, I own it, lock, stock, and barrel. And then big bus loads of in the afternoon of... people from all over the world would come in there, and he'd go and greet them. He had a tremendous personality, and he'd be talking to them in Polish, and people would come in and talk to him in Chinese. "Welcome to my hotel," he says. "Listen, the swimming pool is broken, though, as I'm sad to say." He didn't even have a swimming pool. Of course, he was unsaved, and I gave him all kinds of literature and everything. But the people there in the Middle East, they train their people right away so they can take over their dad's business. And the people there, I mean, this man spoke probably about as many languages as my dad did. He spoke around 17 languages. I know that this man spoke at least that. And he was very funny, but he was very serious. And it was funny to see somebody that intelligent at that young age like that and running the business. And that little boy that would go run and get a little something from the stock room for his dad, that was the most cutest thing I ever saw. And in the United States, the bastards won't let him do it. The only thing you can do is be a stock boy, because they're pushing for homosexuality. They want everybody to become homosexuals and lesbians. That's what the Vatican wants, because they're lesbians and homosexuals, and they want you to be so too. What their idea is they just don't, they don't want anybody preaching the truth of hell judgment from God, because they want to live in this world in a tranquil world. They don't want anybody pronouncing judgment from the Word of God to them, because they're homosexuals, and they don't want anybody telling them that they're a homosexual and that they're going to hell. And they're prostitutes, and they're prostitutes, and they don't want anybody telling them they're going to hell. They're lesbians, they don't want anybody telling them they're going to hell. I mean, they figure if everyone is wicked, if we get rid of all the righteous people, then we'll live in peace. But you fools, don't you know that God is going to destroy you before that ever happens? He's not going to let you do that.
Amen.
Okay? You've had your fun long enough. Now it's the end of time. It's the end of the world. You're going to be punished. And God is punishing a bunch of you right now. Another thing, too, is what they've done is they're making everybody believe that the trouble is coming from the Muslims. Well, if you only knew, I have a book that I'll send you that shows that without a shadow of a doubt that the Muslims is a Catholic organization. And what they're raising them up for now is to take the heat off of the Vatican. Because the Bible doesn't say that the devil's seat is over in Iraq. He says it's over in Rome. Amen?
Amen.
So what the devil is doing is distracting. He's a master of distraction. Distractions take your mind off of what the Lord really said. The Lord said that the devil is coming from that area. And he every time he starts getting exposed, so he starts getting your mind distracted to some other area. Now they're frantic. They're saying, okay, watch out for Korea. Watch out. Korea's going to get you. Korea's going to get you. Korea. Iraq is bad. Well, they're really bad, so we got to bomb them. Okay, anything to distract. Satan knows that his time is short, so he's gone completely crazy. And he just doesn't want you. Now, everybody's just saying, man, those are Iraqis. We got to go get them. And we're not a patriotic person if we don't go and blow their little children, their wives, their grandmothers and grandfathers to pieces. And Bush, they get somebody, you know, out of all the seven dwarfs, you must be dopey before you can be president of the United States. You have to be so dopey that you're going to listen to that homosexual over there in Rome and his imps and to do what they're saying. I mean, they hate it when we tell them what God says what you have to do, because they know they're not going to straighten up and fly right. They're possessions of Satan. They're possessed by the devil. Satan owns them. And he's not going to let them go straight. So all he can do now is to slander God, slander his word, his name, and his children, the people that preach the true gospel. And also to try to raise up other people in the world to make it look as though they are the culprits, when in reality they're just a branch of the Vatican. Alberto Rivera wrote a book regarding how the Muslim church started, and it was started by a Catholic nun and a priest. And what they did is kept him loaded on drugs and started writing down his hallucinations. They would preach to him all the time, all these fallacies, and he'd start, he'd get loaded and say, oh, well, you know, we gotta pray to Mary, we got the Pope is in charge, and all this kind of stuff. And here they are now using the Muslims to draw your attention away from the evil that the Vatican is doing. That's what they did. The Muslims are not the ones that bombed 9/11 over there. It was the Catholic cult. And many of the people, a lot of Americans that were involved with it, from the White House, Pentagon, on down. And the Muslims as well, so that they could do that. Just like they got a Jewish, they killed a Jewish man and put the protocols of the Elders of Zion in his suit pocket and threw him into a whorehouse, called the police. They came over there, and it shows this blueprint that the Jews were going to take over the world. Well, it was just a document made up by the Jesuits and planted on this poor Jewish guy. And the Jews are now blamed for being the culprits. That's what it was back then. They have maybe a half a dozen different people that are causing all the trouble in the world, and it's all inspired by the Vatican. They'll kill you if you don't do what they say. But if you pull the sheets and blankets off of them, in other words, you pull the lid off of these worms, they're going to squirm, because Satan cannot operate in the light. You have to keep exposing him. If you expose him, Bush, if you kind of woke up from your dopiness, I'm not saying that you're on dope, you're just drugged by the evil spirit. If you pull the plug on this guy, if you come out and confess, there's no way that they would kill you. There's no way they would kill you. You haven't got a gut in your body or on your body, because you are gutless. You just won't come out and expose Satan, throw him in the light so he's helpless. It's just like turning a turtle upside down. They can't do anything but just wiggle their feet. All right, so now we have, did you read any of these yet?
Yes, I finished.
You did both of them? Okay. Well, Neil, the end, because I mean, I get caught up in the spirit here, and I don't even. So, besides the seven truths of these seven truths or items, the man, the wife, the house, the tabernacle, the temple, the city, the army of God, there is the body of Christ. So, we're in the body of Christ, and we're going to get right back into Lamsa here, to show you that if you're the body of Christ, you can't be just saying all kinds of fallacy. You have to study the Bible from the Middle Easterners' angle, because we Middle Easterners are the ones that wrote the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
And you don't tell us what the Bible says. You ask us, all right?
Amen.
We're the ones that wrote it. We know it. We are actually the people that have been raised from a dead man's loins and a dead woman's womb. Abraham and Sarah is our mother and father. There's no other people on the face of this earth that can say that they were raised from a dead man's loins and a dead woman's womb, but the Jews. That's why we're God's chosen people all throughout the ages, and God is turning back to us now, and we're the ones with like 144,000 John the Baptists that are raised, being raised up right now, to try to get the truth to you people, to try to penetrate through your deceived skulls. Okay? Now, go ahead and finish with Lamsa here.
The 16th century translators of the Holy Bible did not understand the idioms of the languages from which they translated. Therefore, they translated idioms literally, and their true meanings were lost. This is not all. They were also unfamiliar with the Eastern customs and manners which constitute the background of the Bible. All the authors of the Bible were born and reared in the Middle East, and they spoke the Semitic languages of Aramaic and Hebrew.
Right, we're all Jews over there. How can you understand the Bible unless you're being taught the Bible by a Jew?
Amen.
You can't. We have an insight into the actual spirit that you Gentiles don't have. Okay, you just... you're into just saying about money and all this stuff, and then God wants you to have new houses and enjoy everyday life with Joyce and all these other people. And man, this is so crazy, it's unbelievable. Why are they not warning you about how close it is to the end of time? Why aren't they warning you about the Antichrist? They're not warning you about it because they're part of the Antichrist, folks.
Amen.
Okay? Will the devil report the devil?
No.
Heavens to Betsy, now. Now. Okay, but will we report to the devil to you? Yes. All right? And that you've joined the Antichrist and you're supporting the Antichrist with your tithes and offerings and love gifts. And the Lord sees you doing it after you know full well that the Bible tells you, no, don't do that. And I know the Lord is supporting me because it's for sure you people are not. And I'm glad that it's the Lord supporting me rather than you. I wouldn't change places with all of you put together for all the money in the world and all the tea in China and everything in the world. You people are a sorry lot. Okay, keep reading.
Invariably, people throughout the world think and express themselves differently. Moreover, their customs and manners are varied. Nevertheless, what they say in their own language is well understood by their own people. But when translated into an alien tongue, many words...
Such as English, French, German, Japanese, Chinese, well then there's something lost there, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, then, because you're not Middle Easterners. You are not Jews, okay? You Gentiles thought you had... You're just grafted into the true olive tree. And because of the fact that you've made yourself enemies of God, you become an enemy of God. God is taking you out of the true olive tree and throwing you back into the world, and is going to throw you into hell and the lake of fire. Okay, now this is real Hebrew gospel. This is real Aramaic and Hebrew gospel. And the first four gospels were written in Hebrew and Aramaic, not Greek. And the rest of the Bible was written in Hellenic Greek, which is the Greek written and spoken by the Jews. All right, the Apostle Paul was a Jew. Peter was a Jew. Amen. All the disciples were Jews. Luke was a Johnny come lately, and he just wrote what he had heard the Jews tell him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
But when translated into an alien tongue, many words and phrases lose their meanings completely, and others are obscured. These very differences in speech cannot be learned by the means of textbooks or dictionaries.
Or false preachers or teachers. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
One has to live with an alien people in order to understand their idioms and mannerisms of speech.
Yeah, I lived there in Israel. I lived there. I had a flat in Jerusalem, and I had a flat in Tiberias. I didn't go there on any tour, you know, with somebody that's hustling you for money, to go over there and make an appearance there so they can show it on their TV program. Gentiles. I'm not in the ministry for money. I own a Beatles album worth over $100 million. If I was so hepped up over money, I'd sell that and go to the North Pole or someplace and get inside of an igloo to get rid of riffraff. Okay, because you're nauseating, sickening, yet demonic bunch of weasels. All right, now, so much for you Now let's talk about Jesus, okay? Okay. So we know that the man and his wife, this is symbolic of the, or a symbol or a type or a figure of our relationship with the Lord. We have to be in him, and he has to be in us, just like a man and wife. All right?
Mm-hmm.
The tabernacle, because the husband and wife become one, and Jesus and us become one when the Lord is living in our heart. Amen?
Amen.
And we're living in his word. And we're not at all pulled away or tempted by the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, this is scriptural, folks. You know, I'm not making this up. This term, the body of Christ, is not found in the Old Testament. It is a new term in the New Testament. In the Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, tells us that the church is the body of Christ. The book of Acts tells us how the body of Christ operates, by the Spirit. Those of us that are Christians, real born-again Christians, not Catholic professing Christians, are familiar with many of the biblical items or terms, but we probably do not know the right meaning of these terms. We may talk about the church being the body of Christ, but I'm really afraid that very few can tell us actually what it means. Actually, the body of Christ is simply Christ himself. If we're Christ's body, then we're Christ.
Amen.
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 That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. A person's body is the person himself. Amen.
Amen.
You cannot consider the person as one entity and his body as something else or as of another entity. The body is the very person. The head and the body are one. It is the man part of the person. Hence, the church, as the body of Christ, is part of Christ, even Christ himself. Ephesians 1:23 also tells us that the church, as the body of Christ, is the fullness of Christ. The church is a great universal corporate body or vessel, a great container which contains the very triune God. So we, the church, have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in us. And we're in them, which they're one. The triune God is the content. In other words, a bottle of milk, it is the container for us to put milk in. But the body of Christ is the content of us, is the triune God. The triune God is the content of the church as the divine container. So those of us that are the body of Christ are the divine container of the Lord. The divine corporate vessel. Eventually, in Revelation, the church is a lampstand. Chapter 1, verse 11, 12, 20. If you took away these truths or items, the man, the wife, the house, the tabernacle, the temple, the city, the army of the Lord, the body, the fullness, the vessel, and the lampstand, from the Bible, it would become an empty book. Christ is the image and life of the church. In Genesis chapter 1, is the image of God. Verse 26, and in chapter 2 is the tree of life. Verse 9. So we need to the image and the life. The image is Christ himself. The church is in the form, the image of Christ, because the Bible says so. And the life of the church is Christ himself. And Christ is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, and Christ is the life-giving Spirit. So the image of Christ is Christ himself. And the life of the church is Christ himself. So we're one. On top of this, the church, as a wife, needs Christ as the temple. Now, we're his temple here on earth, but he's our temple in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
It is the same with a city. There is a need of a government, of ruling. The city needs a ruler, just like this world today needs a good ruler. But there are no good rulers, and that's why you see chaos. Satan has been thrown down from heaven to earth, and he has gone crazy now because he knows he's going to burn. Who is the ruler of the church as the city of God? This ruler happens to be Christ, the King of Kings, Revelations 1:5. Chapter 17, verse 14. So there's a need now of the army of God. The army needs a commander, a general. Christ is the commander of the church as the army of God. The church, as the body of Christ, needs Christ as the head. Now, with the fullness, there is the need of the reality. Christ is the reality of the church as the fullness. Then with the vessel, the container, that's us, there is the need of our being a container, is a need for us to have content in us. Christ is the content in us. He is the content of the church as the vessel, the container. Finally, with a lampstand, there is the need of a lamp. In Revelation, we are told that God, as the light, is in Christ as the lamp. And the church, the lampstand, the lamp bearer, the lamp holder, chapter 21, verse 23. Chapter 2, verse 22, verse 5. The church as the lampstand holds and bears Christ as the lamp, shining with God as the light. Oh, I see my time is up. And so we're going to pray people, souls, through to the other side of Jordan. Would you like to be sitting with Christ in heavenly places right now? You can. You start out by doing this, by saying the prayer. Then Christ will be your container. Most people have the devil in them as the content until Christ comes down and enters them. Then he's the content. Now, you either love the Lord or the devil. So if you want to love the Lord, if you want to go to heaven, then say this prayer. Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former 50 sins. And I believe that you, God, rose Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my former filthy sins away in the precious blood and the other sins too, in the blood that you shed for me on the cross of Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank and praise your holy name, your divine holy name, Father, and Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank him for saving your soul and sharing tell him four ways that they can receive a copy of this program number 460.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow for another powerful message from God. These are building blocks that keep building you and keeping you serving the Lord one day at a time. Now, Dolly Parton has been a good friend of mine in the past. I hope she still is today. She wrote a song for me. It's called Lord, Hold My Hand. And Porter Wagner jumped into the session with me and sang a duet with me on it. Okay, so here we go. Lord, hold my hand.
I do be kind. Let me never hesitate to help my brother walking blind. Hold my hand lest I lose my way. Hold my hand and lead me home. Guide each step that I might go. Hold my hand and keep me strong. And let my words have meaning, Lord. Anything that I might speak, if you see me leaning, Lord, just hold my hand and strengthen me. Hold my hand lest I lose my way.